Welcome to Start of the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group. I know you guys are probably like, oh, you guys are back. Yeah, we're back.
Damn right.
It's been a while. In case you guys forgot, I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother, Sandra Sanchez. How you feeling, bro?
Feeling good, baby. Welcome back.
Yes, it's glad to be back. You know, sometimes you got to take a step back in life to get things together, but you always want to come back stronger than ever, and that's what I'm going to try to do. And I figured a good way to do that is to present to you guys the end of the year wrap up. You know, kind of how Spotify sends you that notification. Oh, let's show you all the songs that happened this year that you listened to the most. Well, we're going to kind of do something similar like that, but we're going to try to wrap up the sports year with you guys. Not bore you with all this, all the little stuff, but, you know, try to just highlight some of the bigger points, Sander. And I think it's a good way to kind of just, you know, really look back at what the year gave us, because for a while there, Sander, let's be real, like, you know, COVID slapped really hard, and I remember us freaking out like, damn, we're really not gonna have sports. We're not, how's the NFL season gonna turn out? When is baseball gonna return? But you know, we have gotten our fair share of sports this year, and it is good that we have gotten it.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, we all had a little scared, but we all gathered together, and sports came back bigger than ever, you know, starting with the UFC with their events, and you know, with the NBA, with the NBA having their events, slowly but surely, you know, a little bit of crowds here and there. And now you look, everybody's full capacity. So I'm glad to have sports back.
Me too. Especially as sports, you know, we love it. We feed off of it. We need it to live. But you know, I do want to take a moment, because yesterday the NFL family all came together, because yesterday NFL Hall of Fame coach and iconic broadcast, you might know him for the middle game Madden, the coach himself, John Madden, passed away yesterday at the age of 85. God bless the man. You know, to live to 85 is an iconic feat in itself, especially nowadays. But man, it was just something, you know, anybody that heard him on the broadcast just know how iconic and how unique he was to the game. He, you know, it was kind of like a way, Sander, where he kind of like made it football for dummies, respectfully. You know, like somebody that didn't know football could watch and listen to a John Madden game and really just understand the game for what it was in a very simple form. And I think that you and I both could say that it's just a big loss for the NFL family.
Yes, 100%. You know, he's definitely worldwide known for his commentary, and he was most famous for it. You know, he made football and broke it down to the simplest form and just made it fun for everybody to be able to pick it up at a young age. You know, he used to make those funny sounds, those boom, you know what I'm saying? And also he would draw on the screen. Like, he would make funny drawings on the screen when to break down a play. And he really just captivated a lot of people, especially with the video game. Man, I remember being as young as the age of 8-9 years old, playing those video games, Madden games, with my uncles growing up. My first Madden game that I ever owned was 2003. I'm pretty sure you remember that game very well.
Yeah, you put me onto the Madden, man.
Absolutely. And you know, you and I have this contract with Madden that's kind of written in blood, that from now on until the day we are gone, we're going to continue getting Madden each and every year. And it's just, you know, sad to lose, but it's great to understand that he lived a beautiful, long life. He lived a very successful life as a young coach. You know, I was watching some of his documentary, and it spoke about how he was a player too. And, you know, listen, the guy did it all. He was able to take that Raiders team back in the days when that era was run by the 49ers and the Steelers. And he still managed to win, to finish his career with the highest winning percentage by any coach, win a Super Bowl in that era with the Raiders team. You know, it was kind of like
those were like the Raiders, like the
Raiders,
smoke a bogey on the sidelines Raiders. Like, those are the bad boys.
Hey, Ken Stabler Raiders. Okay. So they go way back, and he was very successful as a coach, like I said, to finish his career with the highest winning percentage of all time as an NFL coach. That's nothing to snooze at. He's going to go down. He's in the Hall of Fame as a coach. I'm pretty sure he'll go down in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster as well. And shit, throw him in the Hall of Fame for a video game icon as well, because he really revolutionized the game of football in real life and in the video game aspect. You know, he just really, there was some games that try to compete with it. Remember NFL 2K, remember All Pro Football Blitz. They shattered all that. So it just, you know, people said this before, and I'm going to reiterate it because it's beautifully said. John Madden may have passed away, but his memory and his life will forever live with football, because for as long as football is around, John Madden will forever be around. So I'm glad to be able to tell my kids that I was able to witness and be a part of John Madden and his career.
Yeah, you know, and I do want to tackle a little bit of the part of the video game, because obviously you and I played the game, you know, religiously growing up. We got it every year on the release date. It's just how it is. But John Madden himself, you know, when asked about the game and the purpose of the game, he says he really wants it to be an educational tool for those who want to learn football to a more, almost to an advanced, but yet a simple level, because it really gives you the chance to, like, really control a franchise, really know a football team in and out, know what a depth chart is, know what the NFL salary is for a set team. And before you know it, all these little things that you don't think really are general knowledge in football really apply to, like, oh, I kind of do know a thing or two because a video game served as an educational tool, and it really does give you that knowledge. But, you know, also to,
how many times do you find yourself, and stop me if I'm lying, how many times do you find yourself playing fake GM? Oh, just trade this player, and, you know, the cap. Yeah. The only reason we are even any type of knowledgeable in those type of situations is because of the game of Madden, breaking it down with salary cap and first, you know, being able to trade picks, you know. The game of he just broke it down for us, that to made it simple for us, basically.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And, you know, another thing for him and what he was in the sense of a football icon, you know, there's been a lot of conversation with Roger Goodell that he always likes to, that he used to want to John Madden as a reference in the sense of football, because when he had the conversations with owners, and this is always like, how can I make more money for my team? How can I make more money for this and that? But when he had conversations with John Madden, it was just really simply like, hey, what can I do to help the game of football be a better game? Because, like, why can we, like, I feel like, I remember a few years back, I believe John Madden was responsible in the sense of the way that they did the special teams at kickoff return. Remember how they eliminated that third blocker that could come back that could help block the kick return?
Yes.
Because it was just causing too much collisions. And if I recall right, John Madden was one of the guys that really put that into motion. Like, hey, this is one of the ways that we could really better the game and make it safer. And it's just a simple thing like that. It's just his football mind that just shows you how much, you know, he meant to the game. And he's just going to be missed by anybody in the NFL circle, man.
100%, man. And like I said, Jay, I'm just glad that his memory is going to live forever, because until the day I die, I'm going to keep on buying Madden, and I'm hopefully pass it on to my kids, you know?
Yeah, and likewise, boy or girl, because, hey, it's universal. So don't it's think universal. you can't have little Emily play Madden. You sure as hell can. So, hey, John Madden, rest in peace. May your memory live forever in sports. But, hey, let's start off this end of the year wrap-up, because we got to start with the beginning of the year. And even though, you know, it kind of feels like the same way, Tom Brady started off the year winning the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Sander, and it kind of feels like they're going to do it again.
Look at that smile.
Yeah, look at that smile. That's the Super Bowl smile. And, hey, Bill Belichick, suck it. Me and Gronk are happy down south too. But look, you can see it, you know, and it really was an iconic moment in NFL history, because we always talk about, like, you know, players really shape the history of the NFL. And one thing that we're going to be able to write in the history books that, hey, Tom Brady left Tampa Bay, and then he left the New England Patriots, and in his first year with Tampa Bay in the midst of a pandemic, he won a Super Bowl. And this, and it could have been made up, because we all thought, Sander, maybe in year two, maybe year three, you know, if he's still playing at a high level, regardless of his age, none of us thought that Brady was going to fall off, you know, like Max Kellerman said, off a cliff. Nobody really thought that was going to happen. But we figured there would be some decline. But no, Brady's still doing his thing, even to this day.
Yeah, I mean, quite a turnaround. Everybody thought that, okay, he won his Super Bowl, there might be a little decline. And if you look, don't look now, but he's right there. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he started off the season with a bang, you know, playing the Dallas Cowboys. That was a really big test. Albeit, you know, Dak Prescott having that injury, they still went down to the wire. And Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things.
You guys got goaded. You got goaded.
Yeah, got goaded. And I'm not going to be mad. It's like losing to Popovich. I'm not going to be mad. But nonetheless, Jay, Tom Brady has this team right back in the thick of it. I know he's battling with some injuries, which is really tough going into the playoffs. Yeah. I think the loss of the loss of Fournette for the year, the loss of Godwin for the year. And Mike Evans, I think for the next few weeks is going to be hobbled with that hamstring.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough road. But like few that we've ever seen play this game, if there's anybody that we're going to put our money to, you know, take their team to the promised land through all adversity, it's going to be Tom Brady and those Buccaneers, because they've proven it before. And Tom Brady still has a few guys. You know, he still has AB. He still has Gronk. RJ, you know, RJ is all right. He's not Leonard Fournette. No. But I feel like he's serviceable enough.
You got Cameron Brake. Yeah, you know.
They signed Le'Veon Bell 2 weeks ago. He's been – I know, Jay. They signed Le'Veon Bell 2 weeks ago just for assurance, but I feel like he still can do some things.
Yeah.
Nonetheless,
and Frank May is a great case that he knows how to take care of himself. Yeah. That's why he lasted so long, and that's one thing that you're gonna know that, you know,
avocado ice cream.
And avocado tequila. We saw a little avocado tequila during that parade. Let's not act like he don't switch it up. But nah, yeah, Frank is absolutely right. You know, at least you know that regardless of how hard Brady's going to possibly press because of the injuries, he's not going to put himself in danger and lose himself, knowing that that will be the ultimate loss to the team. So, yes, absolutely.
He's in the MVP race again.
And Frank says, I still don't like the guy. Hey, I get it, but hey, he the GOAT.
You don't have to like him, but you don't have to respect him.
Yeah, seriously, you know. But, yeah, you know, I was a little disappointed in the Super Bowl because I did want it to be a more entertaining Super Bowl, obviously. And I was hoping Mahomes would take that torch. But, hey. Listen, I remember like halfway through the year, I was like, I wasn't sure if the Buccaneers and Chiefs was really going to happen, because the Chiefs at the halfway through the year were kind of looking a little iffy. But hey, look at Mahomes right now. He the one seed. You know, that's my guy. That's my guy.
That's another team that turned around. And it's crazy because in the NFL of all sports, and I'm not going to knock any sport because I'm pretty sure it's hard to win a championship in every sport. But it is super, uber difficult to win a Super Bowl in the NFL, let alone get back to it, and to it be the two same teams that are in the running for it, that's just a sightseeing. Look, man, I'm a Cowboys fan, Jay, and I'm hoping Dallas can make some noise, but I don't mind seeing greatness. And if it's going to be the Buccaneers and Kansas City again for a rematch, I guess if we're going to see anything, it has to be that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still dying for Aaron Rodgers Mahomes Super Bowl. That's what I'm really running for, too. But I can't be mad if Tom makes it again, because Tom's my guy too. But listen, even though the year started out hot with the Super Bowl and it was great, and hey, let's not forget The Weeknd did this halftime show. That's my guy. He killed it. You know, we quickly took a quick trip down south because Tiger Woods didn't get into a tragic accident early in the year too. Very bad car accident. You know, there's a picture on the screen now. I remember getting the news and everybody was shaken up. And it was just like, well, is he ever going to play golf again? It was a serious question. But then you fast forward, come to December. Now, a couple of weeks ago, him and his son Charlie participated in the second PNC Championship and finished second, Sander. And, you know, I think coming to second, obviously, I think was over exceeded my expectations of it in general. But just the fact that he was out there and he was playing with his son and was competing in itself, to me, was just outstanding.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful to see, because let me just touch on the accident real quick, because I remember earlier in the year when it happened. That accident, because Tiger Woods just recently spoke on it and didn't speak much, but his words were, and I'm paraphrasing, basically that he almost had his leg amputated.
Yeah.
He could have had his leg, and he could have had his career over. His life could have been completely over, like in the sense of him ever playing again. So this was very serious at the time, and it was very, very serious still to think of. Damn, we could have seen a completely different Tiger Woods if anything would have went any worse than it already did that moment. But fast forward to now, Jay, so beautiful to see him and his son, Charlie Woods. I mean, I look at this kid, Jay, and I see the exact cadences that of Tiger Woods, from the swing to the spin of the club, to just him looking down before he's gonna hit that putt, looking at the green, just measuring the distance and the curvature of the grass. I mean, look, Jay, there's not many reasons why I watch golf, and none at all. unless it's Tiger Woods involved. And the fact that his son is, you know, and congratulations to John Daly and his son, because they played phenomenal as well, phenomenal enough to win the match. And they deserve credit as well. They deserve some shine as well. But Tiger Woods and Charlie Woods just completely stole the show. You know, Jay, there's this, you know, there's this little myth of athletes, star athletes, superstar athletes, and icons. When they have kids, you know, they have a lot of, they have these big shoes to step in and fill in. Yeah. We remember, you know, Michael Jordan's sons and thinking, damn, how is Jordan your father and you not good at basketball?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? But it's like seeing Charlie and just his dad and Tiger just work together hand in hand, practicing every day. I'm sure he did, just like Tiger and his father.
He got a pretty good driver too.
Yeah. Listen,
you do.
I believe that's the future. We're looking at the future. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to keep on giving some shine to them because they deserve it. John Daly's son, he's out there at Arkansas State University playing for the PGA team over there. And he's killing it over there as well. So listen, this that what we saw was basically the torch not being handed over, because I think those two are still playing.
What you're saying, like a sneak peek of the future?
A sneak peek of the future, 100%, Jay, because I love to see it. It was beautiful to see. You know, as a father, that's all you want to do. It is when you look at other fathers being great fathers, it really does inspire you and motivate you to do great yourself. And just seeing that, it just gives me all the motivation to want to do great with my son, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, I'm not a father, but I'll try to relate. Shout out to all the daddies, right? Being great daddies out there, keep doing your thing. It's a beautiful thing. But hey, it's transition, because hey, the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks won their first championship in over 50 years, Sander. And I know we kind of wanted to see a little Chris Paul maybe win his first ring, but Giannis said, hold my Milwaukee beer, because I'm going to win this, and I'm going to win the MVP, and I'm going to drop 50 points in game 6. So you know that I'm that guy. And listen, maybe I'm in my island by myself, but I still think that to this moment, Giannis is still the best player in the NBA, and I still feel that way. I don't care what Kevin Durant doing. Come see me in the playoffs, KD, because it don't matter. Giannis right now is just the most dominant, and I'm so happy that he officially, in his head, is just, I'm not taking bad shots no more. Y'all can't stop me down low. Try me. You know what I mean? So I am excited. I do think that we are going to get a Brooklyn Nets, Milwaukee Bucks playoff rematch, and I'm very excited for it. But, hey, I'm on Team Giannis right now. I still like the man.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Milwaukee organization. They got it. You know, they got their guy, and they did it basically how every team, how every fan wants their team to do it. Because, yeah. Yes, it's beautiful, like the LAs and the New Yorks and the Miamis to go grab the superstars and the hottest free agents. But fans like Milwaukee fans, Detroit fans back in those Piston days when they was winning, you know, those San Antonio fans, those teams that are built from the ground, you know, and they grab Dallas. These cornerstone guys, Dallas with Dirk, they grab these cornerstone guys and from the mud, and they come out and win the championship. Giannis is one of those guys. Giannis has always been one of those guys that's always talked about winning a championship in Milwaukee, wanting to do it in the team that he got drafted to. And that holds more weight than any championship where a superstar goes to another team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, but Dirk's one championship against Milwaukee holds more weight, like we've touched before, than any Kevin Durant championship, you know? And this Milwaukee Giannis Antetokounmpo championship holds a lot of weight because he was one of those that talked about it, said it, and did it. That's rare, Jay. That's rare where we see a guy say, no, I want to win one here, and a team struggles. Literally, when he said that he wants to win one in Milwaukee, he lost two straight years and then won it. So congratulations.
Yeah. And you know, and what I give him a lot of credit to is that he put his money in his mouth because he signed a super deal. He signed a mega deal saying, yo, I'm staying here. We're Milwaukee, we going to make it happen. And he did have some pressure going into that season in that playoffs because he was just coming up. He got announced back-to-back MVP. So it's like, all right, now you're really the back-to-back MVP. What do you got? And he also got the Defensive Player of the Year, which the only guy to win those awards in the same season and win a championship is Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? So when you're in that company and you actually persevere and make it and win the finals, it does put you some elite company.
Yeah, I mean, he put his faith into his team, and his team put their faith into him. They went out and got Jrue Holiday. They went out and got a few guys that were going to be, you know, role players and play their role. Like P.J. Tucker, they're granted. We all saw the finals. We all saw the playoffs where we saw P.J. Tucker just sit in a corner and not do nothing all
do
game.
Do what we do?
Yeah, exactly. He went up there and produced a bunch of zeros, you know what
I'm saying? Nah, Sander. He showed up in the freshest shoes. Let's not act like P.J. Tucker didn't bring
it. Listen, if he could get points for the shoe game, ain't nobody beating the game. Go, but listen, but nonetheless, I mean, he still did his thing, you know, defensively, rebounding, playing, doing the dirty work, getting those fouls. Listen, Milwaukee did their thing. They literally put their trust in this man. This man put their trust in them. And them, it paid dividends. And it's not a one and done. This isn't one of those teams where it's a championship and bam, back to the bottom. No, this is a team that has been consistently a top tier team. They just won a title and they're still in the thick of it. They're number three right now in the East with like a 20-13. They're still
real quiet.
So hey. Congratulations, Milwaukee. You know, you guys learned from that ass whooping we gave y'all in the playoffs that year that we swept y'all. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to put too much to it. But, hey, congratulations, Milwaukee. Because, listen, coming from a Heat fan, I would love for Miami to build some consistency.
So you're telling me that Jimmy Butler calling him soft deserves a little credit for that? Because
he definitely does.
Yeah, because he hired him up. All right.
I
get it. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be called soft by Jimmy Butler. That's the last person. Because if he's calling you soft.
And you know what I respect about that run, and maybe it's a little sour for you. They started off that championship run by sweeping the hell out of you guys, if I recall it right. They sweeped.
We were in none of those games.
Yeah, and none of them. So, yeah. Hey, I definitely appreciate them bringing a title to Milwaukee, and hopefully Aaron Rodgers and the Packers could do it this year. You never know. But I definitely appreciate the small town getting love. But, man, where I would like to be, Sander, was to be in Atlanta when those Braves won that championship against Houston, because that was such a great moment, because the evil umpire that the Houston Astros have become went all the way to the top, and they thought they were going to smile in everybody's face. And then Atlanta showed up with the Magic City Wings, and they came through with the energy, and they whoop on the Astros, and I loved it. Winning their first title, Jorge Soler wins the MVP, man, and I was just so happy as an MLB fan, because if the Astros would have won the championship, Sander, I don't know what I would have done. So thank you, Atlanta Braves, for making the year a good year for that one alone.
I mean, the Magic City Wings, I'm pretty sure they're all as great as advertised. You know, I'm pretty sure whenever I plan a trip down to Atlanta, I take a little detour. You know, wifey ain't gonna know about it, but it's just for the wings.
I'm gonna have a cheap day, but just for the wings.
It's just for the wings. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe the show.
But hey, Jay, I mean, congratulations to Atlanta. But I unfortunately was the weird Yankee fan that was rooting for the Houston Astros. Because, listen, it wasn't even about the BS cheating nonsense, you know. I really went into this for my man Dusty Baker. I really wanted Dusty Baker to come out there and win a championship. And he gave it all. You know, they were right there. You know,
They didn't get swept.
So, I think it went six, right? It went six.
It went six. So, yeah, man, and shout out to Dusty too, because he took it like a champ, because he really had to deal with all that collateral damage that Houston was dealing with, and he took it like a pro. So definitely shout out to him.
100%.
I would have voted for him for GM of the year or manager of the year. You know what I mean? He would have had my vote. But hey, I'm just saying, like, you know, another thing with the World Series, I believe Charlie Morton broke his leg in game one. Remember?
Yeah.
And it was, and he went out there and he pitched, and it was gonna be like, if they win the MLB World Series, and that it became so iconic, he'll never have to buy a drink in Atlanta as long as he lives. So
100%. Shout out. It was good nonetheless.
So you know what I'm gonna say, ATL, you already know. But yeah, let's keep it moving, Sander, because after that, you know, one of soccer's biggest names said, I'm leaving Barcelona and I'm going to
France.
Lionel Messi said, I'm joining. And Neymar became the super team. And, Sander, that's like stuff that you do in FIFA, right? That's not like real.
Yo, I don't even play FIFA because of that. I was going to get it because it was on sale. But I see dudes online only playing with that team. So I'm all set.
Who else will you want to play? You want to play with Ronaldo and whatever? Like, no.
I want some diversity, bro. I don't want to.
You know, you deserve that, Sander. You know why? Because I remember you and your smiley, cheesy ass back in, like, hold on. What was it, like, 2K13, 14, with those Miami Heat teams where everybody online was using Miami, where it was LeBron and Wade and Bob. Yeah, and then the Warriors fans, they got their turn back in, like, and then 2K18 when the Warriors had KD. But, yeah, that's just what happens. The super team just turns the whole video game thing unfair, Sander. It really does. Yeah. But, you know, Messi leaving Barcelona was just huge because it really just changes the whole dynamic of power. And now, I mean, they still have an okay team, but it ain't the same. We know that.
Yeah. No, I remember I predicted the curse of Messi was going to begin. And then them dudes went on to win, like, 3-4 in a row.
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah, no, I mean, look. I still predict that Paris Saint-Germain, they should win like 2-3 championships as long as those three are together. So anything short of 2 or 3 championships, yeah. I don't want to hear anything.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And hey, I know a team that's already 2 and going on the way to 3 because the Tampa Bay Lightning, man, they went back to back, you know, saying, hey, Tom Brady, we don't like you coming over here thinking that you run Tampa. We won one. And you want to come here? Won one here. I would hold my beer and I'm going to put my beer in the Stanley Cup. And you have to win another one of these because as long as we're winning championships, it's a Lightning town. I know you're a Buccaneers town making noise right now, but hey, shout out to the Lightning holding down their title in Tampa Bay because they deserve their credit because it's hard to win championships in any sport, and to win a back-to-back, Sander deserves a lot of props.
100%. You ain't going to see Tom Brady throw that Stanley Cup across the board, I'll tell you that. You ain't going to see them throw that one across the board.
No. You know, I would have loved to see a recreation of that, you know, like the Lightning guys doing that, but it's just too iconic. Like, anybody that tries to do that now is copying Tom Brady.
Yeah, no. But do you see how big that trophy is? That thing is like 12 feet. That's like 13 feet tall. I'm all set. I don't need to throw that trophy at all. But, hey, Tampa Bay, they was one of those teams that came out hot in the playoffs. They didn't stumble because they were one of the best teams going into the playoffs, but I remember during that stretch when it was going to the playoffs, they lost a few games, and a lot of people thought they wasn't going to reach the Stanley Cup Finals, and they did. They beat a few teams that a lot of people had them not winning, mm-hmm. and they came out and they repeated. Now it's Tampa Bay's turn because it's not easy to repeat in any sport. And the fact that these dudes repeated and Tom Brady just came across, you know, just came to state lines – that he's trying to make a name, make sure that he leaves and leaves his print on Tampa. But it's a beautiful thing when you're a town that's just winning championships. Like, ain't that lovely, Jay? Like, wouldn't you want to be a part of a city that's just winning championships here and left and right? But no, you want to know where we're stuck at? We're stuck in here in little ass Connecticut with no championship teams. The only thing that we got going for us is a UConn team. And we haven't seen a little championship in that in a little while.
Don't worry. Once our girl Paige Buchers gets healthy, man, she's going to put us back on the map and we're going to get back.
Man, put us on a map like Tampa Bay Lightning put Tampa on the
map. Hey, you never know. Maybe Connecticut one day will get a franchise. You never know.
One day.
But, you know, we do got to say goodbye to a coach that's been around for a long, long time because Coach K, Mr. Mike Krzyzewski himself, has announced that he's going to retire after 42 years with Duke, Sander. And, man,
This has been coaching, man. Since I was alive.
Yeah, seriously, you know, and anybody that knows college basketball, Duke's always up there, you know, their recruiting class and everything. They're always competing. A lot of great players, you know, sorry that I caught you in the middle of a
drink. You good, baby? You good?
You know, just, hey, you know, if you're a Duke guy, you're one of the top players in the country, and everybody wants to get coached by Coach K. You know, he had the honor of coaching the Team USA for a while, too. And, hey, you know, what a great career for him. I'm glad that he's finally going to take his Jordans off because, you know, he wear the J's, too. He wear the J's on the sideline. He's probably going to finally put his J's up and go hang around with the wife and the missus, and they're going to do whatever they're going to do now.
100%. And he has a team that can win it this year as well. So, listen, Coach K has had probably one of the most dynamic, historic, successful, like just one of the most accomplished careers in coaching history. and coming in Duke for as long as I can remember, for as long as I've ever watched NCAA basketball, Duke was always a powerhouse. Yeah. Like, I don't ever, like, I'm gonna do one of our guys. Ready? I have never in my life seen a team that has always been in the running for a top five or a championship. Never in my life. But no, in all seriousness, Jay, Coach K, he deserves his flowers. He's first ballot Hall of Famer. Put him in the NBA Hall of Fame for all the things that he's done for Team USA as well.
Yeah.
He's probably one of those guys, and I know it's a stretch to say because the history shows that it doesn't really translate. But Coach K is probably one of those guys that could have went pro, and his game maybe could have transferred relatively in the NBA. I think he could have had that success. He has that voice. I think what Coach K is to NCAA basketball is what Nick Saban is to NCAA football. And as, you know, Bill Belichick is to the NFL and Coach Saban is to the NCAA, Coach K is and Greg Popovich, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They're the same. So I love seeing those type of coaches, and I'm glad to have seen Coach K coach for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, me too. You know, and when he does officially that last day, you know, it's going to be a very special game. I just wonder how many former players are going to show up in attendance.
All of them.
Because the lineup is incredible. And I wish I had the time of day to put the list. But it goes from Zion to freaking all the way down.
Who's your favorite? Do you remember your favorite Duke player? Who's your favorite Duke player?
I don't know, man. Kyrie was a Duke guy, right, when he went there?
Yes, he was.
Kyrie was pretty damn good as a Duke guy.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
I don't know. I mean, you know, even though Zion and those two Blue Devils didn't go very far, I just remember the iconic his foot going through the shoe and it busting. And I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite Duke player. I don't know.
My favorite Duke player, because I remember my uncles talking about him so much, and it was Grant Hill.
Grant Hill.
Yeah. Grant Hill, because he was the dude, he was the guy that was supposed to be better than Jordan if it wasn't for the injuries. And yeah. Look, man, you tell any you know NBA historian, they'll tell you Grant Hill was like problem.
Oh no, he legit. So, legit.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. Grant Hill. Another one that comes to mind. Carlos Boozer.
Yeah,
Carlos Boozer was a Duke Blue Devil. So yeah, man, just, the list goes on, man. The Hall of Famers goes down the list.
Hey, I mean, the Duke all time team would definitely compete with any other team, and would go and would go seven games pretty damn well. Yeah, so yeah.
Remember Grayson Allen?
Grayson Allen, yeah, and hey, he's still scrappy in the NBA. Still, you know,
he's still playing.
I do like me some, so hey, freaks with it. But yeah, I am very excited to transition to a little college football, because great news came out of that, because Texas and Oklahoma are going to join the SEC, joining Alabama and Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and Vanderbilt and Auburn and Texas A&M. Basically, if you're going to go to
the NFL. Big boy football. That's what they're
doing. Yeah, if you're going to go to the NFL, you're going to be in an SEC team. And if you go to the Big Ten or whatever, you just, like, suck sloppy seconds. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't make the cut. Even though, you know, shout out to USC.
You get your props.
You guys ain't Alabama and Georgia right now. We see who's in the playoffs right now. Those are the teams. So, hey, I think it makes them even that more exciting, standard, because every Saturday you're going to want to watch some SEC football. And honestly, if you could give me SEC or the field, I'll take SEC. That's just
100%,
me.
100%. And basically, we got to stop the crying. We just got to stop the crying. Like, it is what it is. The SEC football has been ruling because that's the superior conference. That's where the better players come out of. It's just plain and simple. The SEC is where it's at. You want to get judged. You want to get looked at. You want to get votes for the top four. You want to get looked at for national champions consideration. You want to either beat teams in the SEC or be teams in the SEC. It's plain and simple, because when you're in the Big Ten conference, okay, and you have a team in the SEC schedule, that goes a long way if you beat them. Because we're not only looking at strength of schedule, but if you're one of those teams that you're looking at an 8-0 record, okay, and you have Missouri on your schedule, that's an SEC team. That's a battle. They're battle tested, okay. and you come out short and you lose to them, people are going to look at you funny. Are they going to look at you? Are you legit?
Hey, okay? Auburn may not be top 10, but you still got to bring it against the Auburn team kind of thing.
Hey,
you know?
Listen, yeah. man, I get you got to beat what's on your schedule. But if these SEC teams are on your schedule and you're not winning, guess what, Papi? You don't get looked at, plain and simple. UTSA could go undefeated all they want. They could go 50-0, okay? But if they don't beat these ranked teams, these legit teams, it's all cookies. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy that Oklahoma and Texas are joining the SEC because Oklahoma's a team that's constantly getting disrespected as well. I'm not going to lie. I looked at them all season with a side eye. I really did, because what you going to give me? You going to give me Rattler, or you going to give me the other kid, Caleb? You know what I'm saying? What are you going to do? A lot of uncertainty. And when you're playing in the SEC, we can't have that. You better be on your A game, because when you see Alabama on your schedule in 2 weeks, and then you see Georgia in your schedule, and then you got to play a conference championship, and guess who you're going to play? Either Alabama or Georgia. Or guess what? The Florida Gators, if they get hot. It's Jay.
Texas A&M has been really good the last few years too, consistently.
Yeah. Ole Miss as well. Ole Miss will smack, will catch you slipping. Look at how they caught Alabama.
Yeah.
So, look, Jay, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's the end-all, be-all, because there's teams that are in other conferences that obviously they get their, you know, they get their respect. Look at Cincinnati. They're in the top four. They're going to actually play Alabama to either – this is their game, like, okay, the committee is going to look at Cincinnati like, okay, you're finally playing a real legit team. I know they beat Notre Dame, but this is Alabama. If they get smoked by Alabama and SEC team, I guarantee you that Cincinnati next year, they won't be sniffing top five. Won't be sniffing. So this is where it's at. I'm excited for college football right now. I'm excited for Texas and Oklahoma, both of them next year going into the SEC to see if they, you know, they're proven and they're legit. Because, Jay, we're going to see if Texas can hold them. We're going to see if Oklahoma can actually play with the big boys now. So it's all good. There's nothing bad from this. You can't take nothing bad from this. Only good. It makes the SEC better. It makes, you know, it makes more eyes come to college football. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm great with it too. And hey, I remember the big story being Lincoln Riley being super chicken shit and leaving Oklahoma when he knew the merger was happening. I figured, hey, Lincoln, if you're going to be legit, man, just stay in Oklahoma and just prove that you're the offensive genius that you are and just make it happen. But yeah, I'm excited because I do like seeing both these programs, especially a program like Texas, who's just, you know, they have such exposure, and just to see them now officially in a big program like
they
SEC.
Got their own network, I feel like, bro.
Exactly. I just feel like, you know, like I feel in previous classes, maybe they were falling a little behind in the recruiting class. But now that they're going to be joining with the big dogs, maybe those guys will be like, hey, I'm trying to compete against those other guys. And I'm going to get I'm going to be spotted playing against these guys. So, hey, let me not go to one of these other schools. Let me go to a school that I'm going to be having more eyes on me. And maybe the NFL prospect is going to be like, yo, this guy, even though they're not beating this team, they're really competing very hard in this tough conference. And I think that it's really going to benefit it more than it is going to deteriorate the product of the college football.
100%, Jay, because it widens the SEC. Now more teams are going to be able to, guess what? Because there's going to be out-of-conference teams that are going to look at their schedules, you know, and they're going to be like, we don't want to play Alabama, but maybe we want to play Texas. Or we don't want to play Texas, but maybe we want to play Oklahoma. Because, you know, the schedules are made years in advance, but those people that are making the schedules, they look at these teams. So, for future references, teams that aren't strong enough, maybe they can look at the SEC and maybe pick a few more teams, maybe the Missouris. And because you'll look at a team in the Big Ten and they'd be like, damn, they got wins over Tennessee. They got wins over Oklahoma. They got a win over Florida. They got a win over Alabama. Damn, that team is legit. That's what this does for the SEC. So it's all good for it.
Into and then, hey, I can't wait for college football to just start over again. I know we got the college playoffs coming up soon, but I kind of just want the new season to start already.
Yeah, you
know,
wait to see Trinity College go undefeated for 2 years and then me cry about them not having a top four national championship case.
Yeah, well, It is what it is. But yeah, I do want to get to a little current day, because even though it was fun wrapping up the year, I do want to get into week 17 football. And usually this will be the last week of the football season, but we do have one more because we have a
week 18,
and it throws the records off a little bit. But hey, I might say a little word in the air, but I'm an NFL slut. Like, I love the NFL. So if you're going to give me another week of the NFL, I'm going to take it. But that's just me. But let's just highlight some of these bigger games, because we got the Vikings at the Packers. We got Dolphins at the Titans, Rams at the Ravens, Chiefs at the Bengals. And hey, Cardinals are visiting your Cowboys. And we'll leave that one for last, because I know you got a lot to say, but let's just try to tackle one at a time. We got Vikings at the Packers, Sander, and that's a big NFC North showdown. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers locked up the division title already. They're the current one seed. But every time Vikings come to Lambeau, it's always a battle. So, you know, both teams are still have something to compete for. I believe the Minnesota's the seventh seed at the moment, if I recall it right. So, what you think, Sander? Then they're going to be able to hold it down?
Well, I mean, my brain says yes. My heart is telling me no, because I want Minnesota to beat them. But I'm going to keep it real.
Do you have selfish reasons for that?
I mean, I might be just a little biased opinion, you know. But no, Jay, for real, in all reality, I believe the Packers will get it done. The Packers are fighting for that number one seed because they know the road to the Super Bowl goes through Lambeau. There's less than a handful of teams that could go to Lambeau and beat them. You know, the Bucs being one with Brady, and maybe the Rams, maybe Dallas. But, you know, that it's less than a handful. The Packers know, Aaron Rodgers know, Matt LaFleur knows what they're playing for. This Vikings team, they're fighting for their lives. They're literally, remember in the movie This Is the End, when Kevin Hart falls into the hole and everybody's falling and there's people that are, you know, the Packers are way out of the hole. But they're like, Kevin Hart, help me up. And the Packers just need to kick them in the face and drop them in that damn hole. That's what the Packers need to do, all right? Aaron Rodgers needs to just finish the job. He was on Game of Thrones. He was on Jeopardy. He knows how to end the show. So end the damn show for the Vikings. You know, the sole place for first place. Because if you have to travel to anywhere, I mean, I know they're a cold team and they travel anywhere. But I'm pretty sure that the Packers don't want to go to Tampa. I'm pretty sure that the Packers don't want to go to Dallas. I believe that the Packers are best suited to get to the Super Bowl at their home. So if they want to get the best chance for them to win, it's securing a number one seed, because they are dealing with a few injuries now as well. Jair Alexander is set to come back, but if you can secure that number one seed and get that first round bye, that's all the rest he would need to be able to come back healthy, or at least somewhat healthy, and be ready for whoever comes to town. The Vikings, Jay, I'm sorry, man, but it's something about Kirk Cousins that you could take the name off the player, right, and put his stats up on the screen, right, and you'd be like, yo, what the hell? That's like an MVP. And then you put the name and the face on it, and you're like, oh, it's Kirk Cousins. It's kind of like that Pokemon, like, who is this Pokemon? And then you get it wrong. You're like, it's Kirk Cousins. Like, that's the feeling you get, Jay, whenever you see Kirk Cousins playing football. He's going to get you the stats. He's going to get you the numbers. But when it comes to winning the game that matters the most, because he'll even win you a game that matters. He'll win you a game that matters. But the one that matters the most, man, that's just not the guy. So I think the Packers are going to take care of business in Green Bay and just solidify their spot at the number one seed.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, especially being at Green Bay, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to keep continuing bolstering his numbers, because he definitely has an MVP campaign that he's very much in the lead, at least in my opinion. I think he's a front runner for the MVP at the moment. So I just think that just going out there, beating Minnesota, really is putting a stranglehold on that number one seed is more than enough. Just going into that final week of the season saying, I'm the MVP of this season, I'm about to win it back-to-back, have that home field advantage that I failed. Well, he got it last year, but he failed to hold it down because Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came to Lambeau and got a dub. You know, Tom Brady didn't play great, but Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had the chance to win that game late, and he couldn't get it done in that first and goal, second and goal, third and goal. He just couldn't get it done. So, you know, I do think that he does want that redemption. And I think that really, like I said, winning this weekend against Minnesota, a division rival, just really solidifies that number one seed for them. It doesn't clinch it for them, but it really does put it like virtually is theirs. It's theirs to lose. So I just hope that he goes out there and just proves me right that he's that guy, because he does.
Oh, yeah, he's that guy. He goes out there and gets the MVP this year for real. I don't want to hear this talk about Tom Brady. I really don't want to hear this damn talk about Tom Brady. This man, Aaron Rodgers, went to Arizona, an unbeaten Arizona at the time, and with no Davante Adams, with no Lazard, with no Marquez Valdez-Scantling, with no Aaron Jones, and with no Bakhtiari, still went out there and laid the smackdown on the Cardinals, okay? Meanwhile, Tom Brady, when his guys went down, they got shut out by the Saints. So it's not the same. Tom Brady's having a great year, don't get me wrong, Jay. And he's even in the conversation. He's in the conversation for MVP. But
I'm about to say you made it sound like he wasn't even in the conversation for a second.
Rodgers is the MVP, okay? He's in the conversation. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. There's a big difference, okay? So I don't want to hear us talk about Tom Brady right now. I think it's Aaron Rodgers' award to lose. Reasons being, when was the last time you saw him throw a damn interception?
Yeah. All right, you're right. He's my MVP. But yeah, let's keep it going, man. Dolphins are running hot right now, and they're going to Tennessee, and that's it. Yeah, you know, that winners of seven straight. You know, Tennessee Titans are trying to clinch up the AFC South, you know, and they got the Colts right behind their back, so they really have to keep winning games. But, hey, what are you liking that one?
Listen, I don't know what's hotter, the Dolphins or Derek Lewis's balls in that interview with Joe Rogan when he said, my balls is hot. I don't know what's hotter right now. I really don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and say the Dolphins right now, because they've broke two records in 1 year. Losing seven in a row and winning seven in a row. That just never happened. So I know all signs go towards the Titans because they are the better team right now, but I think the hotter team is going to win this game. The Dolphins, they're scorching hot. Their offense is clicking. Their defense is playing as well as the defense that we thought they were going to play last season. I know they haven't beaten too many good teams on the schedule, and the Saints weren't even that better of a team. But the Dolphins have been able to handle business, Jay. Tua has been playing well. Jalen Waddle coming back from injury has been – I mean, all season he's been playing well. I know he's coming back from the injury, but even coming off that injury was like, what's going to happen? And he produced. So I think right now that the hotter team is going to win this game. Brian Flores, I can't praise Brian Flores enough. I love me some Brian Flores. I think he's one of those up-and-coming coaches that doesn't get talked about enough. But he's one of those coaches he's from the Bill Belichick tree. A lot of guys from the Bill Belichick tree don't pan out. He's panned out so far with this Dolphins team. And I like what I see. I know he's going against a really good coach in Mike Vrabel as well. But I just believe that the Dolphins defense, the way they're clicking right now, is going to be able to do enough to contain their old quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. I think they're going to do enough to be able to contain that offense. A.J. Brown, I know he had a blow-up week last week, but I think he's still a little hobbled. I don't think he's going to be able to do enough. Julio Jones, just you might as well have me out there, Jay. I think I could have done what Julio Jones has been giving you so far this year.
No, you won't.
And the loss of Derrick Henry, they've had a few wins against the top elite teams in the NFL without Derrick Henry. I just think right now, though, Jay, all signs for me point that the Dolphins are going to win this game. They are the hotter team because they're the most active. You know, Jay, when a fighter is active compared to a fighter that hasn't fought in a long time, and the fighter who's active just goes in there and handles business. I think right now we're going to see a little bit of that with the Dolphins and the Titans.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the best analogy, because Titans also been playing games. It's not like they've taken a few days off, but I kind of understand what you're saying. Yeah, nah, you know, I've been on the Tua train the whole time. I never hop off of it, so I'm going to keep it going. You know, he's a reason why they are going as they're going. He's just being very safe with the ball. But obviously, you mentioned the defense. They're the ones. They're the real catalyst of the whole show. You know, they're really gone back to what they were playing like last year, and they really started with just win at a time. Because, like you said, they lost a lot of games. They're like 1-7, and before you know, they're 8-7. And right there, they got the seventh seed. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they're in. And I know that no team would like to play the Miami Dolphins in that first round, because you know you're going to get smacked around by them. And I do think that they're just at the right place at the right time at Tennessee. Tennessee has had to endure a few things. And, you know, I somehow trust Tua more than I do Tannehill. I do. I know that maybe that doesn't make sense to some people, but I'm a Tua guy, so I'm going to trust Tua in this game. And I got Tennessee. I think that they'll win, like, I'll call it like a 20-17 game. That's what I think they'll win.
You got Tennessee.
No, I got the Dolphins winning. I said the Tua
Dolphins. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you there. Because listen, and in no way I'm saying the Titans are trash. I don't want my words to be misconstrued. I don't want to hear people on the airways saying that, you know, the Titans are trash and Tannehill's garbage and all that. Listen, they are good. They're playing very well right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee pulls it out, because Tennessee is also one of those teams that are fighting for a top seed in the AFC. They're like only maybe one game back of the number one spot. Yeah. So
like game or two, yeah.
They're right there is what I'm trying to say. They're right there. So if they could get that number one seed and get Derrick Henry back, because I think he's coming back. I think he'll be back come playoff time. And really? If the Tennessee Titans really need him, I think he might play. So both of these teams are fighting for a lot. Both of these teams are fighting for the upper playoff seed. So it's going to be a great game.
You got a score for me?
I got Dolphins 27-21.
27 from the Dolphins?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm expecting two touchdowns from the boy Waddle, you know?
Oh, okay. All right. So personal ambitions there. Hey, shout out to Jalen Waddle too. You know, I remember when on draft night they paired Tua up with his former Alabama receiver, and you know, yes. I'm pretty sure what they're seeing on the field now is what I think they would hope to see on what they thought that draft night, and it's awesome to see it come to fruition. Former college teammates playing at the professional level. Awesome to see it. You see Ja'Marr Chase now playing alongside his college quarterback and Joe Burrow. How's that turning out? You know what I mean? So, hey, maybe that's something that executives should look at. Hey, maybe try to pair up some guys. It could work.
Yeah, right? Maybe it could work.
Yeah. But then we got the Rams at the Ravens, Sander. We got Matt Stafford, who, you know, has a couple up and down games, but the Rams have been able to stay afloat. They're currently the third seed, I believe, or the fourth seed. You know, they're leading their tough NFC West. You know, that's a division for the champs. If to be the guy to be running that division, you got to be pretty damn good. So, what you got? Who you liking that game?
Well, I'm liking the Rams. I think just the Rams right now, they're one of those teams that are clicking at the right time. They know what they're playing for. These are the teams that are fighting for the one seed, Jay. And when you're fighting for that one seed, you can't be playing around with a team that's hobbled. I think the Ravens, I think they might as well damn break the record for most players on IR. They got like their whole team on IR. You know, it's just that bad. Their secondary is banged up. All three of their would-be starting corners this season are all on IR. It just sucks to be them, because they've been in positions to still win these games. Just a few weeks ago, they were, you know, just not so long ago, they were in the number one seed. You know, let Joe tell it. Harbaugh got to get fired, you know, so because of the mistakes he's made. This team, the Ravens are reeling. You know, it downhill in a way that we really don't see John Harbaugh Raven teams go. They're usually during this time of year one of those teams that get hot, but they're about to run into a buzzsaw in the Rams. The Rams offense is clicking. Cooper Kupp has been breaking every damn offensive statistical year for any offensive player in any sport history. I think he's going to score more points than any player in NFL history. He's going to break every fantasy football record in history right now. The Rams are on fire. Matthew Stafford is playing on an MVP type level as well. I believe that Sean McVay has his team ready. I think this is all he's ever wanted. I know he was able to take his team with Jared Goff to the Super Bowl, But Jared Goff doesn't have half the cannon that Matthew Stafford has. And I feel like now that Sean McVay finally has his toy, his Ferrari, he's going to be able to take his team to the promised land. And the Rams are one of those teams, Jay. They can match up with the Packers. They can match up with the Buccaneers. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they beat up the Buccaneers earlier this season when they played them. They did. So the Rams are one of those teams that they know what they're playing for. Unfortunately, maybe if the Ravens were 100% healthy, this game would be more intriguing. But I feel like this is just a team that Lamar's coming into this, coming off of the injury, coming off of I don't think he was – was he in COVID protocol? I don't know, but I've known that he was coming off injury. Yeah. Coming off an injury facing Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Jalen Ramsey, like that's just not what you want to do coming off injury. That's the recipe for disaster. Go ahead and throw in Brian Hundley back in there. You know, save your ass for next week. But I just feel bad for the Ravens because it's such a depleted team, man. And you know us, Jay, we always want teams to be at their best. So we can see them play at their best, win or lose. You know, at least you know they were at their best when they did it. And they're just so depleted that I think the Rams are going to straight up smack them around. I think it's going to be a 38-14, 38-10 type of affair. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that the Ravens are going to be able to do anything on the Rams, both defensively and offensively. The Rams are superior right now. So that's what I got for this game.
Yeah, you know, you say that, you know, they're wounded and this and that, but, you know, a wounded animal is the most dangerous animal, Sander. And there's a difference between Matt Stafford and Lamar Jackson. Right. Matt Stafford doesn't have the intangibles that Lamar has. He don't got the fire that he does. And I get that Lamar Jackson definitely has his back against the wall and he's definitely he's undermanned. But I don't know. Maybe we could revisit this in the future. But something about this game at Baltimore. Listen, Matt Stafford has been pressing the last couple weeks, pressing hard. He played horrible last week. Let's not act like he played good last week. He threw like three picks. He played horrible. He barely got it. He barely won that game. Something about the Ravens team this week is very intriguing to me. I like the Ravens to win a game where Matt Stafford is going to play ugly football. I think the Ravens are going to win like a 20-17 game.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I know you're like, hold on, what? Like, they're only going to score 17 points? Listen, Kupp's going to get his 10 catches. Don't worry, you'll get your fantasy points. He'll be fine, but something
is telling me that I need a 30-point game, Jay. I need a
30-point game. Well, maybe both touchdowns will go to Cooper Kupp. Who knows? But something about this standard just tells me Ravens, 20-17.
I mean, you could be right. You could be right. I mean, the Cards played the Detroit Lions a couple weeks ago, and they got shellacked by the Lions. So it could happen. I'm not going to sit here and say – because, look, Jay, through all the injuries and through all the mishaps that the Ravens has had, they've been in every single game, even the two games that they lost in the final seconds and fourth down or going for two. They were right there. They could have beat the Packers. Yeah. And they converted that 2-point conversion. So I'm not gonna sit here and kill the Ravens. I just think that the Ravens they're just too deep in a hole.
We'll see. I mean, they're right behind the Bengals for the division title right there. That's another division that's gonna be very tight. So they're right there. They still got things to play for, and they'll be paying a lot of attention to this game, which Chiefs at Bengals, Sander. That's gonna be one where Joe Burrow just came off for throwing, what was it, like 1,300 yards in a game or something like that. He just went off. He only threw for the fourth most passing yards in the game.
He did what I did in Madden. 125.
You know, so shout out to him having his Madden game. Shout out to Madden up there in heaven, because we all know he went to heaven. He was a good man. You know, he had his Madden game. But hey, my homeboy ain't no slouch, and he goes to the road and he could play there too. And they're currently the number one seed, trying to lock that up. So a game with a lot of stakes on that one. So what you like?
I want to say the Bengals.
Then you say it then. Stop being a chicken shit. Say you just.
And I'm gonna say the Bengals.
There you go.
The Bengals. The Bengals need a statement win. The Bengals need a statement win.
The hell they do. Yes, I agree.
And they've beaten a few good teams, but if they want to be considered as one of those teams that are elite, and I know they're young, so a lot of people are gonna be like, "But why? they're still maybe like you know, they're still a year away. No, F that. Tell Justin Herbert that. No, he yeah. wants to beat the Chiefs now. Okay, yeah. they want to beat that ass now. So the Bengals, Joe Burrow, I said it a few weeks on Facebook, Cincinnati, you got your guy. This is your guy showing up to the press conference after he smoked the team for like 5,000 yards in one game and, you know, six touchdowns. You know, granted, you know, he threw like 500 yards and I think he threw like, what, four touchdowns? Look, man, he showed up to that press conference in a Santa Claus hat. Well, you know why? Because he was just giving gifts all day. Whoever had him in fantasy, you won your day for sure, okay? And Joe Burrow has that swag, man. I know the Chiefs are the Super Bowl contender caliber team. They're riding high. They're on this win streak. They're on. They're back to number one in the AFC. And I know your lover boy, Jay, that's your guy. I get it, Jay. But I think that the Cincinnati Bengals need this game more than anything because they play in a division. I've said it before earlier, the AFC North is the girlfriend that everybody dates, but nobody wants to take home the mama. Because nobody wants to win that division, Jay. Nobody has held that division for longer than 2 weeks. I wonder why. Does she stink? Does she smell? Does the AFC North smell? Because I don't think so. I think there's some good teams on there, but nobody wants to take that division. And the Cincinnati Bengals, through all the nonsense that's gone on this year, they have been one of the teams that in that division have had to deal with the less injuries. They got their offense on point all season. The fact that they haven't been able to take this division by storm, it's mind-boggling to me. And this is the game, to me, that proves that Cincinnati, they're on the right step. Because if they lose this game, then guess what? They fall into the category of every other team in that division. A team that's good enough but doesn't really scare nobody. So if you want to start putting fear in anybody, if you want to start having heads turn and people look at you like, oh, they can hang, you know, because Justin Herbert, I know the Chargers aren't having the best year this year, but when the Justin Herbert's playing the Chiefs, you know that's a toss-up because Justin Herbert goes blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes and Sir Burrow, if you want to be mentioned in that category of the upper echelon quarterbacks, if you don't want to be mentioned with the Dak Prescotts and you want to be mentioned with the Aaron Rodgers, you got to show that you could beat Patrick Mahomes. So I believe that the Bengals are going to win this game 27-24. I think it's going to be a good defensive game because both defenses are good. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals defense is a little bit better. But it's going to be that close of a game, and it's going to be a statement win for the Bengals. Book it.
Well, I'm glad you said it with your chest because you came out pretty timid, so I'm glad you came out tough. But listen, for this game, I want you to call my man Patrick Mahomes Patrick Exotic, all right? Because he's going to freaking be the Tiger King. I guess he's little Bengals, all right? He's going to come in here and be like, listen, all that yapping on y'all going here in Cincinnati, I'm going to show y'all why we the one seed. And I think that the Chiefs are going to show up to Cincinnati, and they're going to put a whooping on him. And I think they're going to beat him by like – I think they're going to put up like 37-28 or something like that. Like, I think they're going to make it definitive. I like the Bengals. Listen, let me just step back. I do like the Bengals. I like what they're doing. I think that – moving forward, they have the best quarterback in that division. Let's just call it what it is. I love me some Lamar Jackson, but when it comes to throwing the ball, the kid Joe Burrow, he's just ahead of Lamar Jackson. And Baker Mayfield, you got to grow up, kid. And then Big Ben, we'll see who the quarterback is for the Steelers next year. He won't be there. We'll see how that looks. But at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow. And until Lamar Jackson can consistently throw the ball better, it's Joe Burrow's division, I think, to lose now because it is his time. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to continue building around him. And as you see, they did grab him Jamar Chase. We were just talking about this, I think it was earlier today, maybe yesterday, Sander, how Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, those are all pretty almost close to elite guys at such a young age. They're only going to get better with time alongside him. And let's not forget the stud that you also have in fantasy, Joe Mixon. He's pretty damn good too. So you got a pretty good foundation there for him to keep developing and growing. So basically all you got to do is just really shore up that defensive side of the ball because you're going to be able to get points granted help from that offense, but they don't have the firepower that Patrick Mahomes has because he still has Kelce, and hey, he's still the best tight end to my eye. And Tyreek Hill, he hasn't slowed down, and Kelce's their offense is
Kelce's out for the game.
I mean, he is, but he will be back. You already know Patrick, man. He gonna make it work. The backup will play pretty well. He won't be Travis. Obviously, Travis is an elite tight end of his own class, but they will be able to still compete. They still got the speed. Tyreek alone would definitely just shift the focus. You have to double him, especially now that Travis isn't gonna play. It's gonna open up the zone for another guy to get open. You know, Patrick, he's just a genius with that. So, yeah, call him Patrick Exotic. He going to be the Tiger King, and he going to beat your Bengals by, like I said, a good 10.
Look, there's two Joe Exotics on the Bengals, and Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow. But listen, Jay, the only thing that could possibly hold back the Cincinnati Bengals is the coaching. I think Zach Taylor, you know, he's a little wet behind the ears when it comes to the coaching business.
I mean, he knew, man. Everybody knew us.
I know. And I feel like that's the only thing that might hold Cincinnati back. But you say that they don't got the firepower. Jay, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon.
Bro, stop. Bro, no. Why are you repeating what I just said? They have firepower. Mess with that other guy. He is the bazooka. Like Joe Burrow's a shotgun, and he could go.
Yeah, okay. But this is the thing, though, Jim.
Listen, you could go hunting.
We've seen the Chiefs get held. We've seen the Chiefs when they can't hit those bazooka bombs lose games because they can't win. Intermediate. So if the Bengals could hold off on those big plays, they have a chance to win.
But listen, they're running the ball really well too. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is having a little bounce back the last few weeks. The offensive line is priming at the moment. It's looking like the line that they purchased out the offseason with Brown bringing him in to secure the tackle position. They're moving the ball really well right now on both sides of the ball. I'm just telling you, I'm not discrediting the Bengals. I think they're also a good team. They are just at the wrong place at the wrong time, unfortunately, at their own house when the Chiefs are going to come and smoke them out. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to be a good one.
Let's go. We can defer on two. And maybe we'll defer on this one because it's the game that I know you're going to be staying up watching, sweating a little bit maybe, because the Cardinals and Kyler Murray are going to go to Dallas and go face off against Dak and your beloved Cowboys. And, hey, I got to say, and I told this earlier in the week, I really do like the Cowboys this year. I think that there's just something – I really just like the makeup of this Cowboys team. I love that it's not really dependent just on the offensive, the defensive side of the ball. Has played really well all year, you know. But, hey, Kyler Murray has a tendency of making good defenses look pretty amateur. They're trying to catch his little footsteps. So, what do you think?
Well, unfortunately for Kyler Murray, he's been on that bad end of a losing streak. You know, one of the teams in that losing streak
lost
was
to the Detroit Lions,
and it wasn't a game where the Cards were winning and they let their foot off the gas and Detroit came back, or it wasn't a game where it was back and forth. It was a game where straight up Detroit beat that ass. You know, just straight up from the beginning whistle to the end, they just straight handled the Cards, and I think that loss definitely is a tale of something that's wrong with the Cards, because they lost the game before that one, but I feel like it was that game where you really saw like a weakness in the Cardinals defense.
You lose D-Hop, you know, it's a big loss. You lose JJ.
Yeah, right. And there you go. I mean, those two key losses are big losses. So I feel like if the Cardinals at least maybe would have had one of those guys, even as a Cowboy fan, I would have let the bias – I would have turned it off, and I would have made the smart decision and gone with the Cardinals, because all year the Cardinals have been the best team in football. Up until recently, their injuries took in a toll, and they've, you know, taken a little spiral down. And if they were still fully healthy, I would sit here and say that it's going to be the Cards. But, Jay, they're not. And on the other side, Dallas Cowboys have been playing really well. I know they beat up on the NFC East, and those the Giants and the Washington football team twice. But nonetheless, these are teams that are division opponents. They always give the Dallas Cowboys fits. The Giants did give us fits, a game where we were up like 14-20 zip, and they come back and give us a game. Washington, that first meeting, we were up like 20 zip and they come back to make it a game. It was up until this last game where Dallas finally showed this is how you're supposed to beat an inferior team. You're not supposed to let it go down to the wire and then think a win is a win, because that's not how it's supposed to be. Like I always say, Jay, and I'm pretty sure you've heard me say, it's not only that you beat a team, but it's how you look doing so, you know? Because when you beat up a hobbled team and when you beat them by a field goal, we're going to look at you like, what the hell? What happened? Yeah. Why did you only win by a field goal when you had all your guys and these guys are hurt? And last week's show, Dallas was playing no games. That's how you beat a team. It's not running up a score. It's showing them we're the team to beat. We are the NFC East champions, and we are clicking on all cylinders. You touched on it earlier, Jay. I'm so glad that Dallas finally has a goddamn defense. Because, Jay, stop me if I'm lying. Because you know me more than a lot of people. All I've asked for is not a top five defense, not a top three defense, not even a top 10 defense. But if Dallas's defense from the beginning of the season, if Dallas's defense could be 10 to 15, we could make some noise. And they've shattered that. They're a top five defense right now, top three defense in takeaways. I know they gave up yards, but if you listen, it's like that thing. If you do something long enough, they're going to get you. You know, you could steal as much as you want. But if you do it long enough, you're eventually going to get caught. If you throw to Trayvon Diggs 5-6 times, he's going to pick one of them off. He's not going to pick them all off. He's even going to give up some yards because he done got smoked. But if you keep on testing him, he's going to show you why he leads the league in interceptions. And get to that defensive line, those monsters in the front line. You got Micah Parsons, who's playing not at a rookie of the year level, but a defensive player of the year level. He's literally top three in tackles, top three in tackles for loss, top five in sacks. I mean, those numbers alone get you defensive player of the year considerations. So he's in the running. I can't say enough of how proud and how happy I am of Randy Gregory completely changing his career around. Jay, I remember you being one of those guys that, damn, Randy Gregory can never stay on the field. Randy Gregory is one of the dumbest football players in NFL because he always doing some dumb ish. If it wasn't for the weed, it was not going to practice for some dumb ish and getting suspended. And I heard enough of Randy Gregory from you. And to see the progression he's made this year, phenomenal. Yeah. Tank Lawrence is finally playing like the Tank Lawrence that we paid him to play like years ago. You know, when he caught that interception and ran it for a touchdown last week, I'm like, go. That's why we paid you for it.
He looked pretty fluid doing it too.
100%. He looks healthy. This team looks 100% good right defensively. They look healthy. I still have some questions of Jordan Lewis. I really pray Jordan Lewis doesn't give me, or Anthony Brown give me, I really pray Anthony Brown doesn't give me a 4 penalty game like he did that one game that really screwed us.
Thanksgiving.
But Jay,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's another year Thanksgiving ruined. Thank you. That's my third Thanksgiving in a row ruined because of my Cowboys. But listen, Jay, I feel like Dan Quinn has this team clicking. The leadership from Tank is really showing. And Vander Esch is really not getting talked about, but he's quietly like the voice of that team. He makes sure that everybody is sound. Micah Parsons is literally developing into the voice of that team. He reminds me so much of a DeMarcus Ware, even though DeMarcus Ware wasn't that good coverage, but DeMarcus Ware just getting after the quarterback and being that voice on defense. I can't be any much prouder right now from what I'm seeing of the Dallas Cowboys defense. This is all I ever wanted for. I mean, I wish we had this defense when we had Romo and Terrell Owens, Jay, because we probably could have won a Super Bowl that year. But it is what it is. You know, I'm happy right now. I think that the Cowboys, Jay, are clicking. And the Cardinals are misfiring. that loss to DeAndre Hopkins, I feel like, is just too much for the Cards and that offense. And Kyler Murray's great, but when you don't have that security blanket in D-Hop, I just think it's going to be too much for him to overcome. The Cowboys win this game. Ready? Win this game. 27-21.
Okay. Yeah, you know, usually for the last few years, you know, when a team is struggling and they got to get right and they see Dallas on our schedule, that's like, oh, that's the get right there. That's the one that, you know, whenever somebody plays the Cowboys, someone's going to have a career day. And maybe they will. Maybe there will be a career number made that day.
Aaron Jones.
But I just feel like it just – for Arizona, that's not going to be that day at Jerry World, unfortunately, because, yeah, they're just right now at the end of – not at the end, but they're just going through a tough stretch right now after starting off so high. There's really conversations like, hey, one, is Kyler going to be the MVP? Are they going to be the one seed? Is they going to have to really go through Arizona? And they just – you know, the injuries have really calmed down. And unfortunately, you know, Kyler's, you know, he's a smaller man. And unfortunately, all those hits throughout a whole NFL season just took their tear. And you see it in his play as the season progresses, because he always starts out hot. But after you get hit so many times, by the time you hit week 10, you're like, damn, I'm kind of beat up right now. You know, another guy who's smaller that's taken a lot of punishment is also Baker Mayfield. But, you know, he's not the level that he's not the talent that Kyler is, but nonetheless, an example of just a smaller guy just dealing with the wear and tear.
Russell Wilson is another one. Season.
Russell Wilson, you know, another guy. Nonetheless, all phenomenal players, but it just really the wear and tear does come down. And Kyler Murray now for a second consecutive year has found himself in that situation where he really put himself in a spot to be a good team. And then it's just gradually. And it was a big upset last year, the way they collapsed. And it's looking like it's going to be the same way this year. And I think at Jerry World, after the complete showing that the Cowboys gave against the Washington football team last week, they're just riding high in confidence. And, you know, I think it was kind of an anomaly, Sander. I'm definitely going to pop your balloon right now with your enthusiasm for the Cowboys, because it really was an anomaly. It was a complete game for the Cowboys. And if you're telling me you're going to be playing like that moving forward, then I'll crown you Super Bowl champions right now, because if you guys are playing your best football, it's going to be hard for another team to beat you, considering that you guys play all the positions pretty damn well. I think that your one big glaring weakness that going into the playoffs is going to be your coach. And right now, especially this weekend, you have the coaching advantage, at least against Cliff Kingsbury, because he's not elite, but when you're going to have to face off against Sean McVay and Bruce Arians. Then you got in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur. You know, like those guys, they just are top tier over what Mike McCarthy brings to the table. And I just feel like that's where you have a disadvantage. So hopefully you guys play all well on the field, because if it's going to come down to off the field stuff, considering your coach, it's going to be difficult. But as of this weekend, I think you guys will steamroll the Cardinals. I think you made it a little close. I think I'm going to give you guys like 35 to like 21. I think you guys are going to really mollywop them. They just don't look good to me right now. And you guys are running all well. And I feel like 35 for you guys, even on an ish day, is okay. You know what I mean? On a good day, 36 like last week. But 35 should be very doable against that defense. So, yeah. Dallas.
Well, good. Because you and Steve, Steve said, he made a bet with me that if the Cowboys beat the Cardinals by two touchdowns, he'll crown us as Super Bowl favorites. So basically what you're saying is the Cowboys are going to beat them by two scores?
What I said, 35-21? Yeah. Yeah, but that's more of an indictment on Arizona, not you guys. Yeah. I don't think you guys are overwhelming dominant. I just think they're just in a bad situation, and you guys need to have another game like you guys did against Washington. Just kind of like we're beating up on the teams that we're supposed to. We're not giving those teams a chance, because a game like you guys can't afford a game like the Raiders, a game like the Broncos, because all that positivity instantly starts crashing down. Like, yeah, Dallas ain't it if you lose to the Cardinals. You know, like that really just deflates any momentum that Dallas has moved forward. So I think that is very important that you try to repeat another game like last week against the Washington football team. But I don't see it as complete, because Arizona just presents a more competitive edge than the football team does.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, I'm going to give them the respect, because they are a formidable team. And I would feel so much more different if the Cowboys earlier this year would have beat one of the two like elite teams that were on our schedule, you know, Buccaneers week one or the Chiefs.
It was like
if we would have came out with at least one of those wins, I'd feel real confident, even more confident.
Leading up to this game, this was going to be like one of those games. But unfortunately for Arizona, they didn't deliver on their end. So
should be a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, hey, unfortunately for Dallas, it won't be much of a home field advantage because Jerry World's the eighth wonder of the world and everybody who loves football will be there. Unfortunately, that means that a lot of Arizona Cardinals will also travel. But it'll be all right. It'll be a fun show. So I'm excited. Is that the primetime game? Do you know?
Is that the 8:30 game?
Because yes, I think that'd be a great 8:30 game. I'm going to check real fast. Let me just check.
Oh, it is. Trust me, I know.
No, it's a 4:25 game, which is fine.
It is?
Yeah. The primetime game is going to be Vikings at Aaron Rodgers. That's what it's going to be. No. I like that Aaron Rodgers get primetime. That's my guy, you know. I'm okay with that. You just sit down at 4:25 and watch your boys, okay?
I will do that gladly and watch my fantasy football team.
Yes, but nonetheless, you know, I'm very excited for week 17, knowing that we have one more week after that. It'll be very exciting. Yeah. But, yeah, what was very exciting, though, Sander, is to be back on Stir the Pot after a long recess. Definitely good to be back on the airwaves talking sports because I missed it. I really did.
Oh, yeah, man. It's glad to have you back, man. We missed you. You know, we know you've been out for a while handling your business, man, and we just want to let you know we've been here, we've been strong, and we're glad to have you back, bro.
Yeah, definitely thank you and shout out to CMG. You know, all the hard work that we do here definitely doesn't go unnoticed. Everybody here is great, and let's just keep it going, baby, you know? Just keep it going.
Hell yeah, man.
Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at Stir the Pot Sports. Check out the website at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And make sure you guys catch all our audio shows under Spotify or Apple Podcasts, under CMG Sports, Stir the Pot Sports. Yeah, I forget how many times I say sports in that little thing. I got a little tongue twister.
Yeah, no,
but man. Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, under CMG Sports, you'll see our logo. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. But yeah, Sander, yeah. Great to be back for sure.
For sure, man, for sure.
Yes, sir. So, hey.
I want to give a quick shout out too, man, to these people that, I mean, every day that I see them, they always mention me and they always want a little shout out. So I'm going to give them a little shout out. And you know them well, Jay. My people's over there at Blended Nutrition, over there at 525 Main Street in Danielson. Oh, man, they the bomb. They always hook your boy up with aloe water with either cranberry aloe, mango aloe, or mandarin aloe. And when your boy feeling froggy, I just say throw them all in there and give me like an aloe fruit punch. And that comes out good. They always take care of your boy. So listen, anybody that's want to do the healthy thing, you know, keeping good on their weight, has a New Year's resolution, they have tons of healthy supplemental shakes that you could use to substitute for meals. And they're delicious too. They don't have that nasty, funny, like shake taste that nutrition shakes. You know, that funny aftertaste that you get when you drink a nutrition shake. Ugh, yeah. I used to hate those. But over there at Blended, you don't have to worry about none of that. They give their mango pineapple, fire. Their birthday cake, fire. I recommend if you do go over there, get that Jolly Rancher tea and tell them that Sanders sent you so you'll get hooked up even more.
And that's Blended Nutrition and Danielson, correct?
Yes, Blended Nutrition, Danielson, Connecticut. 525 Main Street. Catch them. They're there during the day from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. every day. So go catch them and tell them that I sent you. So maybe I could get hooked up even more when I go. So yeah.
Yeah, you know, so you know the new year is starting, everybody trying to get in shape. So yeah, head over to Blend Nutrition, our friends over there in Danielson. Let them know that Sanders sent you. You know, maybe I'll get in shape too. Let them know JJ sent you too. But yeah, you know. Definitely everybody wraps up the year with their family and their loved ones. And, you know, hopefully 2022 brings us also a lot of amazing, great sports stories.
Yes.
You know, the year starts with NFL playoffs. So I'll be excited, you know, but it'll be so because NFL's almost over at the same time, but it'll be all right.
Yes, man. Everybody stay safe. You know, we're going through scary times right now with the pandemic. Please stay safe. You know, just stay clean.
Try your best to stay off the COVID IR list, okay?
Yes, please. Cooper Kupp, please. Nothing.
I'm talking about people, not the players, Sander. Jesus.
Oh, okay. My bad.
But
my
I guess bad. Both imply in this
But
one.
Yeah, everybody, okay? Everybody stay safe, especially Cooper Kupp, okay? But yeah, no, everybody, okay? We love you guys. Thank you.
Happy New Year's from the CMG and Stir the Pot family. Happy New Year.
And we back.